When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to Best Show Bests, the best of the best show. And you can find out more about the best show over at thebestshow.net. It airs live every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. And if you're new to the program, this show, these are little bite-sized bits and greatest hits type samples of what we do every week. So if you like this, maybe you check out the full show. And if you want to support The Best Show, we have a Patreon set up over at patreon.com/thebestshow. That is how you support the program. It is listener-sponsored now, and you give what you can, and we appreciate it. And there are prizes and benefits at all different levels of giving. So again, go to patreon.com/thebestshow and support the show. And now please, without further ado, check out this episode of Best Show Bests. Who's good here, Mike? Good, or your idea of good? Which one? All right. Best Show, you're on the air.
Tom, this is Lisa Jane Persky calling.
What?
Congratulations. I'm very happy to hear you on the air again.
You are?
I'm ecstatic. Are you kidding? I love you.
This is the actress. Actor.
I love you so.
And writer. And photographer.
Tom?
Yes?
I have a Ringo story for you.
You do? Lisa Jane Persky, for people who don't know, you are a super talent.
Thank you.
You've done
nice.
Just about everything. You were... I was reading... What was I reading... About a play, and then you were in the play? What play were you? Where would I have been reading about you in a play back in the 70s?
I don't know. I don't know where you would have read about that. Maybe in an Iowa magazine, it's called Prairie Something. Kimber McLeod wrote an article about me and Gary. From back in Gary Valentine from Blondie, and I think it might have been mentioned there.
Oh, I know what it was. You were in the thing. Were you in a play with? Was it? Is there a divine connection?
Oh yeah, there is a divine connection. Yes, I did a play called Women Behind Bars at the Truck and Warehouse Theater on 4th Street, right across the street from the Club 82, which people have heard of, I'm sure, and around the corner from CBGB's. Mm-hmm. And I did that play like eight. I got raped by Divine eight times a week.
So you were in a play with Divine.
Yes.
And this is between which movies for Divine? Is this why? Where was Divine? This is like 78, 76?
Female Trouble. Yeah, it was 75, 76.
Wow.
It was a lot of fun. We had so much fun. And the show was like an hour and 10 minutes when it was going really, really well. And then, but Divine got sick a couple of times, and when Divine got sick, he was replaced once by Monty Rock III.
Okay.
And then another time by Holly Woodlawn. And when Holly did the show was about 2 hours long.
Okay.
So that wasn't really quite as fun, because as you know, timing is everything.
Yes, it goes takes a little longer, then it's a little less fun.
But I played the innocent raped by the system.
Okay.
And Divine was the system, really.
Was Divine a good person?
Divine was a fantastic person. I loved Divine.
That's so awesome.
He was sweet, sweet, sweet. And also he liked to smoke a lot of pot.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ringo.
I just heard Mike crack a beer also.
Just Mike, getting ready for...
Yeah. He's like Mickey Mantle out there. It's like It's like he's the Derek Jeter. It's always like a clutch crack out there. Just when we're up against the wall trying to pull it out. Mighty Mike's at the plate.
So good to have the gang all back together.
Well, thank you. It's good to have the gang. I agree. It's good to have the gang back together. So Ringo Starr, Lisa Jane Persky, and Ringo Starr. Tell me how you have a Ringo Starr story.
Okay, so I used to have this boyfriend who was he was a busboy at Morton's restaurant, which is this in the 80s. And in the 80s, it was on Melrose, near Melrose Place, and it was like very hip. You know, place to work and place to go, and everybody used to go there. So being a busboy there, you could sort of inform on everybody and anyone, and you found out, you know, kind of the habits of the rich and famous. So, and you also found out how to fold your shirt sleeves up. There was like a special way that you had to uniform yourself.
Okay.
And they wore K-Swiss shoes and white shirts, and they had a special, anyway, everything was done in this very specific way, and it was pink, and everything was pink and green and white. And so Ringo came to this to celebrate. I don't know whether it was an anniversary or a birthday, some big celebration.
And what and year are we talking about around?
Probably like I'm thinking 80, somewhere between 81 and 84.
So this is Stop and Smell the Roses. Caveman era Ringo Starr.
There you go, caveman. Absolutely, it was right around then.
A took.
Okay, so
was he wearing his caveman outfit?
I wish he had been.
So okay, so you're there.
So he comes in. This is I'm not there. Donald's there.
Okay.
Donald, my ex-boyfriend. He's there.
Not Donald Most. This is not Donald Most, is it?
No. No.
Wouldn't that be something if you were just burying the lead in this Ringo Starr story and it turns out you
so
went out
sorry,
with Donnie no. Most?
This story is never going to be as good as if that were true.
Okay, so Donald is there.
But okay, yeah, and a host of people waiting on this table of about, I think, maybe 13 people. Well, no, it had to be 14 or 12 because if it had been 13, somebody would have died and maybe it would have been him, but... but anyway, at the table were Ringo and his friend Barbara Bach and all of their friends. And, you know, there was a lot of champagne and there was a lot of food and it went on all night long. And finally, you know, the bill came and, you know, they had literally a team of like seven people over this, watching over this table. And the bill came and he paid the bill and everybody got up to leave, and they picked up the check to see that he hadn't left a tip.
Ugh. What is and, it with these guys? What is it?
Yeah. So the waiter and the busboys, they were all sort of agog and aghast at the slip, just sort of staring at the slip blankly. Like, and then they took it to the maitre d' and said, you know, maybe he's made a mistake. You know, there's no tip. So, I give the maitre d' so much credit because he went out into the parking lot after
Good.
Ringo.
Yeah.
And he said, excuse me, I'm sorry, I think you forgot, with all the guys like looking out the window, you know?
Yeah.
At him. I think maybe you forgot something here. And Ringo said, no, I don't tip.
Oh, what a dirtbag. Put him in the Dirtbag Hall of Fame.
You know, people have always told me how nice he is and everything.
Yeah.
And then I remember this story, which I know was true, and I know I knew all those guys were really nice and that they were really helpful, the guys who worked there. And so nobody did anything weird or, you know, didn't bring him his straw.
What a dirty skunk. He's a dirty skunk.
Something. But that's really low, right?
No, that's the worst. Bum. So, he's a bum.
Yeah, yeah.
The luckiest man in history is an ingrate about it. This guy should tip 700% everywhere he goes. He should be like, look, it's all gravy for me.
Right.
I was a passable drummer, a very good drummer. Very good. He's a very good drummer.
Yeah, yeah.
Not much of a singer. As a singer, he was no different than when you'd be watching a show and, like, if you were watching, like, a show and, say, Gene Rayburn started singing a song on a talk show. Or, like, something like that. like that's the vocal level you'd expect from this guy.
I do want to say, though, that I think he's a very good actor. He's a charismatic screen presence.
No, he's very charming. He's a very charming guy.
Yeah.
Like,
he's
a bum.
I just saw the re-release of Help. No.
Hard Day's Night.
Hard Day's Night. Yeah, re-release.
Great.
That incredible, right?
So
I
good.
Mean, and you want to like him so much. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, it's a very, very sad story.
But he's a bum. He's a bum.
And so I'm sure there are better stories about Billy Joel, but I don't have one.
He's a lousy, no good bum. Ringo Starr. I hope he does. I hope he does this Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I hope he throws his back out on stage. I hope he slips as he's walking out there and throws his back out.
We'll be watching for that.
I hope he throws his back out. He limps out on stage. That would be the greatest moment, watching that bum hunched over.
Sanctuary!
It's terrible. I can't believe a guy doesn't tip like that. Again, this guy should be handing out $100 bills to anyone who he makes eye contact with, just because of the free ride that the universe gave him. But no, I don't tip. I don't tip. We should have.
Yeah, I'm from Europe.
I hope he goes on stage.
When I was in New York, that like at some bar that I walked by on 18th Street. It's some famous bar. I can't remember the name of it, but they had a sign up that said, if anyone from Europe is confused about the tipping customs, please ask our management.
Yeah, you tip. You tip when you're here, stupid. I hope Ringo Starr goes up there and he's like, peace and love, peace and love, and then some waiter goes, hey, remember me? And it throws a water balloon filled with ink, and it just hits him right in the forehead.
Right. Remember me from Morton's Night?
Yeah, remember me, you bum?
Exactly.
Oh, Lisa Jane Persky, what's going on with you? Real quick, what's happening?
Gosh, I'm really working on my book seriously right now.
You have so many stories.
But the book is about, the book starts, it starts before I was born, because I remember that so much better than what's happened yesterday. And it goes to 1973.
Wow.
And then there's so a lot of things have happened where I've had to go, and I don't know if you have read any of the stuff I've written about the village, but I've had to write some things that are in the second book, which starts in 1973, where this first book leaves off. And I'm going to be presenting a performance piece at the EMP, Experience Music Project, this year in Seattle.
That's exciting.
And it's going to be from that period, because we're doing a panel along with Kimberly McLeod on how all of these tendrils of the arts came together in New York in the 60s through 1980. So that should be fun.
All right. I want
everyone to come.
You tell me when it's happening. We'll tell everybody all about it.
All right. Tom, it's just so great to hear you and everyone who calls. And it's just great to hear Mike's voice. And, I just love you guys. And I love the book. I'm so proud to be part of the book.
Hey, Lisa. Lisa, how's it going? Hey,
hey.
It's me, Mike. Remember me?
Yeah, you're a part of the box set that's coming out. The Sharpling and Worcester box set.
Yes.
NumeroGroup.com. Putting
it
out.
It's an honor to be asked.
Your amazing photographs.
Thank you very
Speaking
much.
Speaking of Ringo Starr.
Don't have to.
No autographs, no tips, no talent. That's his
motto.
And
yet he manages to sing a song about, I'm trying to, Photograph. What is that song?
Photograph?
Yeah, what is he actually saying in that song?
Every time I see your face, it reminds me of the place. Vocal, octuple tracked to try to make it, to keep him so it sounds like he can hold a tune. All I got is a photograph.
How many drummers, like, tried to, you know, move into... I love the Keith Moon records.
Yeah, well, yeah. You mean the fun Keith Moon album?
Yeah, that's fun.
That's fun.
Yeah, that is fun.
Yeah, try listening to one of these Ringo Starr albums. You'll be gouging your eardrums out.
What are there other drummers who've you know, had put out records where they're singing?
Sure, my boy Grohl. All my life I've been looking for something of a bone. That guy wrote a thing in Rolling Stone. I put it up on Instagram where he's like, I got the next album, the next Foo Fighters album figured out. What? 3 years away. He's like, nobody's ever done this before. What I got figured out, people are going to blow people's minds. All right. Click it back a little bit. Really? No one's ever done. This guy figured something out that no one's ever done with any album ever. Wow. What's it going to... The only thing I would want to hear is if he's just like, yeah, we're not on it. We're not on the album. It's another band. Okay, I'll buy a copy of that. Oh, Lisa Jane Persky, right. You have a great night. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Say hi to Andy. And
I will. I'm sure he'll be calling you soon.
I'm ready.
All right.
Okay, have a good night. Bye.
Bye.
Ringo Starr. What a bum. I don't tip. It's not a mistake. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom. How's it going? It's Carl.
What? Carl.
Yeah, it's Carl Newman.
Carl Newman?
Sorry, AC. AC.
AC Newman from New Pornographers?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how are you?
I'm good. I was just watching TV.
That's cool.
And, I was really bored, and I checked my Twitter, and I saw people were calling me out.
Eh, nothing to do, huh? Just watching TV.
I know, exactly.
We're here for you, AC.
But it's funny. I was just talking to Christy, and we wanted to explain why we weren't listening to the best show. It's because there's this Danish TV show called Borgen,
mm-hmm.
which everybody says is the best TV show.
Okay.
And we just got the DVD in tonight, and we were watching it, and that's why we weren't listening.
So you were watching Borgen?
Yes.
Look, I don't know what Borgen is. I'll spot you with the difference on Borgen. What is Borgen about?
In a few words, it's the Danish House of Cards.
Okay.
That's all you need to know. We've only seen two episodes, so.
And you love it?
It gets a thumbs up, I think.
All right. Okay. Now
but
you...
The show that came off on afterwards is, it's called Ground Floor. Have you ever heard of this show?
Why, yes, I have.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of it?
Not my cup of tea. Not my cup of tea.
I appreciate the craft, I think.
Sure. Just like, that to me is what jellyfish are to people who make music.
You're not a fan of jellyfish?
No. Those plasticky, rubber-sounding albums?
I think they're pretty good.
Nah, I'm not into it. Not my scene.
You know, I would argue that their weakness was that they were too good. In that they wanted to sound like Supertramp,
mm-hmm.
and they sounded exactly like Supertramp. You know what I mean?
Sure. Like they were just, they wanted to do their version of Supertramp, but somehow they're just doing Supertramp.
Exactly. It's like diamonds are more valuable because of their flaws.
Look, I'm not even.
And they didn't have it.
Sorry, go ahead.
They didn't have any flaws.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe I need to try these records again. It's just a little too slick for me. It always struck me as a little too shiny and slick. But I could, obviously, that dude can write songs and everything. I understand that. But I think, and especially when that came out, I was in a more lo-fi period of my life.
And they wore those goofy hats on their first record, which was very hard to forgive.
And that logo might have done it for me, too.
Mm-hmm. It was a certain kind of band that wore those top hats, like the Mad Hatter, you know?
Yeah.
And it wasn't them. So I think they screwed themselves in that respect.
With those hats? Don't wear hats. Mm-hmm. And look, maybe I'll try those records. I don't know. Which one should I listen to, A.C. Newman?
The first one?
Okay, the first one.
I'm guessing it was called Self-Titled.
Okay.
The second one was good, too. I think it was called Spilt Milk.
You know what record I like, though? Brill Bruisers.
Oh, thank you.
By the New Pornographers.
That's very nice of you.
And look, well,
I'm very humble about what I do, so it's hard for me to take a compliment.
I want to apologize to you publicly, A.C. Newman, because I said to you something. I was like trying to say a song. I told you which New Pornographers. Well, I don't know why I said this. Maybe because I was trying to prove that you guys were imperfect in your perfection. And I tried to say how the song Jessica Numbers is not my favorite New Pornographers song. But then last night, I'm listening to this thing. I'm like, okay, now I get it. Now I get it. I don't think they have any bad songs.
No, I think we have bad songs.
Well, but I think you don't like certain songs of yours.
It's what I do for a living, so why would I point out my weaknesses to people? That's the tough thing about being a musician. You're no longer allowed to point out your weaknesses.
But it's also not your job to tell people why they shouldn't like the thing they like either. You know what I mean? When you make things.
Exactly.
It's not up to you to disabuse people of the thing that they enjoyed.
Mm. I figured that out after I spent a long time trying to convince people that certain songs of mine were good when I realized, oh, nobody thinks that. So I should just let people think what they think.
People are going to think they're going to do it anyway.
Exactly. People are always thinking.
They're always thinking. How can we get them to stop thinking? If only we could get people to stop thinking, it would be so easy for all of us.
Exactly. I spent half my life trying to figure that question out.
My favorite New Pornographers song is... Unguided.
I think I figured out my favorite Pornographer song, and it's The Bleeding Heart Show. And it's mainly because I think it's our most popular song, and I like it.
It's your Stairway to Heaven. It's the fourth song on the album. It's got three parts to it.
Exactly. It is our Stairway to Heaven.
It is. Stairway to Heaven has three parts. Bleeding Heart Show has three parts. Fourth song on the album. Fourth song on the album. Makes sense. I only wish that was on your fourth album, not your third album. I think about this stuff way too much.
That's where I screwed myself, I think.
Well,
that's where we screwed ourselves.
You were too good too soon.
Mm-hmm. We should have seen that. I don't know why. That was sort of a misstep.
You know what song I listen to a lot of yours? It's a Dan song.
Which one?
Daughters of Sorrow.
That's a great song. Not many people bring that up.
It's got so few words in it. Which is crazy.
It's true. It's got a weird sort of a soul vibe to it.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
It reminds me of a song. I can't remember which one, but yeah, it's a great song. I could talk about Dan endlessly.
Well, look.
He's one of my favorites.
He's one of my favorites, too. What
and
are
a good guy. Not many people know that. He's a really good guy.
I had a good time. The times I've talked to him have all been good times.
Yeah, we were. We can't talk about what we talked about.
No,
let me tell you.
No, we can't. What a teaser! Well, what a teaser that will be uninteresting in actuality compared to what people's minds, where people's minds will take it. AC Newman, Carl Newman. What does 2015 hold for both yourself and the new pornographers?
I think this is going to be just the year of crackpot schemes. I think
okay.
I've got some ideas that couldn't possibly work, but I'm gonna see if they work.
Well, look, when you're ready to loop me in on these ideas, you let me know. I will do anything.
You're not ready to loop the world into your crackpot ideas.
Well, I got one going here. I rebuilt this radio show.
Come on, that was... I know it was hard to do, but you knew that was going to happen.
I knew it was going to happen. We'll see if anybody... but I'm down here. I'm down here in the tank, man. I got other shows. Got Paul McCartney going on their show, and I'm moaning about Ringo Starr. They actually have the actual Paul McCartney on their thing. But you know what? The nerdiest. That show, The Nerdiest, had Paul McCartney.
The Nerdiest?
But you know what, though? I got Paul McCartney on. Right now, I got him on.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody just said that the year of crackpot schemes sounds like it could be one of your song titles. Uh-oh.
Wow. That's a really mean thing to say.
No, it's in a good way.
Maybe if you put something in front of the year, I don't know. Mm-hmm.
I think it's a song title. Maybe
put
it's
a big word in front of year, and I think you've got something.
Or maybe it's a Dan title.
But I just wanted to say I was really inspired by the thing that you're working on that I can't talk about.
I know.
Has inspired me to do something very similar.
Oh, uh-oh.
And there's room for more than one of us in this world.
Uh-oh, no. Know? I knew I shouldn't have told anybody about my secret project 99. I'm calling it secret project 99.
But, you know, like, a person in a band isn't threatened because another person starts a band. So you shouldn't feel threatened. And I know I'm not going to do anything as good as you, but you inspired me to do it. And I think I've got something.
All right. We will talk about this where we can talk about
this. Yeah, let's not talk about this in a public forum.
Exactly. Let's not do this.
Because it means nothing to anybody.
Let's not do this. We're not going to do this tap dance.
Yeah, let's not tap dance.
All right, AC Newman. I am going to talk to you soon, and I wish you the happiest of New Year's.
Yes, you too. And I can't believe I actually called in.
You did.
So weird.
You did it. All right, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
Great to talk to you, Tom.
Right, you take care. Bye. Thanks again for listening to Best Show Bests. And I want to thank Martin DeGrell for supervising the episodes of Best Show Bests. And, of course, much thanks to Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Martine Sellis, Brendan McDonald, AP Mike, and of course, John Worster. Who else? Marcia Neumeier. And, you, the Best Show listener. Thank you. And if you like this, check out the full show every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to midnight at thebestshow.net. And support The Best Show, patreon.com/thebestshow. Thanks so much for listening. Goodbye.